best theme song ever. Holy shit, what's up, Philadelphia? How's everybody doing?
Hey, everybody.
This is awesome. There's probably 3,000 people packed into this arena.
Nice.
It is unbelievable.
Perfect.
We had to move it. We had to do the reverse of the Democratic Convention. We had to move it outside because it was too small of a venue. We're in the Helium Comedy Club's giant outdoor venue that they have on the roof of this bank.
Wow. You really can only get here by helicopter.
Yeah, it's really amazing that we got everybody here. Well, thank you guys so much for coming out to our first ever Comedy Film Nerd show.
Very exciting.
At Helium in Philly.
I knew I was in Philly, too, because I'm from here, and I was parking the car, and I found out, oh, it's only valet, but I had, like three boxes of merch to unload. But, you know, looking now, that seems a bit overly optimistic for Graham and I.
I think everyone in here is going to buy 18 things a person.
So I was about to park, and I'm like, oh, it's valet, I can't park here. So I go to the guy, oh, how do I get out of here? And he goes, same way you got in, buddy. Like, now I know I'm back in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Big old fuck you. Welcome back.
Yeah.
But nice folks in the front row drinking water and eating hummus. You guys are ready. You nerds know how to goddamn party. I tell you what.
They didn't have coconut water.
Yeah.
So that was
which is they really
they
should
do.
Have.
Yeah.
Batman shirts. This is outstanding. We are very excited to be here. What do we want to cover? A couple of things.
We do. I mean, one of the things I wanted to say, I actually, like I said, I'm from here. I went to film school here. I went to Temple University.
Yes. Oh, shit.
Uh-huh.
Come on now.
Oh, yeah. And I got to tell you, boy, did that help. Yeah. Get a communications degree? Man. That's like getting a certificate for, like, perfect attendance. Nobody gives a shit.
With that. But, someone just went, oh, yeah. Are you like in Temple right now? And she's like, what am I doing?
But actually, the good thing about a communications degree is then I got really good at telling people I don't have a job. Very helpful.
Well, we now are in your garage in the San Fernando Valley communicating.
Exactly.
To all
through
of these,
the internet.
Through the internet to all of these fine people.
Yeah, we are. We're reaching 0.001 of the podcasting population. So, but what I'll tell you, I got to tell you guys, though, I loved growing up here and going to college in Philly, and I really did love going to film school in Philly. And it was one of the things, too, if you guys are in film school or at Temple right now, because I still stay in contact with my film school teachers, and they haven't fucking aged in like 15 years. It's like, what is it about college professors? They have like a picture in their attic that ages for them. It's
I think
really
because they smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it.
Just like Donald Sutherland in Animal House.
Yeah.
Banging their younger students, walking around naked.
Because I gave my...
Is your professor here tonight? Is he listening to this?
He might be, actually. Because I gave my teacher our book, The Comedy Film Nerd's Guide to Movies, to look through. And his, they're old school film teachers. First thing he said, not enough history on documentaries. That was the first critique.
Sorry, yeah. I wrote that chapter. It's all like surfing and martial art documentaries. Yeah. Sorry. Well, speaking about the book, how many of you guys heard us on Preston and Steve this morning? By applause. A couple of you? Yeah, sweet. You wave your hands. That's nice. A difficult question. we wanted, that was really cool. And obviously one of our guests is coming on from Preston and Steve is going to be on in a little bit. We want to thank you because the book has now gone back up to the number one downloaded movie guide on Kindle on Amazon. So how about that?
You guys.
Thank you, nerds.
And all the other fans. We appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you for letting the robots get all that information.
Yes.
what else did we want to talk about? We wanted to touch upon...
Well, while we're talking about the book, too, we're already getting emails like, I can't believe you forgot the X movie into this book. And in fact, even some of the writers are writing us emails. Like Mike Schmidt wrote us, why isn't Almost Famous in here? It's my favorite movie ever.
Every guest that's come on the show
has picked a movie that should be in there. What is their favorite movie?
So we want to encourage you guys, go to the Facebook fan page. And
what was your favorite movie that wasn't mentioned in the book?
Yeah, in this category. We'll on the message board of the website, wherever you want to go, just say, why did you leave out this section? And you can rant and rave about.
Although a lot of times we did hit your favorite movies because we got a review on Amazon that actually said, you guys did mention Ghostbusters, and that's my litmus test for movie books.
Did your mic
so you
just cut
passed.
Out?
I don't know. Or my voice. one of the two.
Are you hitting mute on your own voice?
I have a
switch.
That's
really weird. Yeah.
Okay, I'm a robot.
That's weird. Yeah. I was created in a lab in Temple. Not the university, an actual temple, a Masonic lodge where they make robotic
nerds. Oh, I haven't been to back to Temple University in a long time. Still in a bad neighborhood? Yeah? There? Okay, just checking. Sweet. That was the one thing we would do. Like, learn about film and try not to get shot. That's what we try to do. Learn about movies and...
It's very helpful living in Los Angeles. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now. Not getting shot. It's constant gunfire your backyard when we do the show. So I want to talk about this since I see a young lady with a Batman shirt on. First of all, I love Dark Knight Rises. I got to say that again. Yes, so great. David Cronenberg said in an interview, I don't know if you know this, and I'm going to put this up on the site. And Facebook. He went after, he's like, it's this bullshit. These are just comic book movies and blah, 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 blah. You know what? Go watch Cosmopolis. Sounds like it's a big piece of shit. You know what I mean? I don't know why. I'm so tired of hearing that.
It's like Michael Bay going, black and white movies. Why did anybody watch those? They're dumb.
To me, that whole thing of... They're just comic books. They're not. It is mind blowing to me, especially in light of the subject matter that all three of the Dark Knight movies have covered. And clearly, he's never read. Like, I guess he just read a comic when he was like a kid in the '50s or something like that. And went, you know, or watched the Adam West show and went, how could you ever make anything serious out of a middle aged guy with tight pants? You know, like, which is what.
That's what David Cronenberg sounds like.
That's my, you're a dumb, anyone who's stupid, that's the voice. You're grab that's another mic. Is that one keep putting out?
I think I'm going out. All right.
Switch with that one.
Cover
next
for me.
Right next to you.
Back.
He's back. Sweet. Can we see real quick if there's like a mic substitute or something like that? The club owner just gave me the...
Like.
I think he's either saying we need a new microphone or he's like, there he's you go, like, jerk it off. Get your own mic, asshole. It's fucking Philly. Go out the way you came, fuckstick.
Yeah.
Here's a tasty cake. Now suck it.
Speaking of that, I got to do a little tangent here. What happened to tasty cakes? Why do they taste like shit now? It's unbelievable. Like they used to be like really, really good. Like it was like, and they used to say, "Oh, they're so fresh, we take them off the shelves after a day," because it was eggs, milk, flour, sugar. And now you look at it, it's like 1,000 different ingredients. And I had one before, like, "Oh, this tastes like cardboard and sawdust."
Well, that's who bought it out.
On it. Yeah, a lumber mill.
A lumber mill bought it out.
Tasty cake.
Here's your sawdust, asshole. Yeah.
Go back the way you came in.
Go fuck yourself. Go walk through temple, you shitbag.
Good luck.
Good luck. All right, anything else that we want to do discuss?
I think we should get to the giveaways, you guys. It's not only do we appreciate you guys coming out, we give you free shit.
Yes. And we almost have enough prizes for each person in here. You have a 40% chance of winning a prize, folks. I'm not going to lie to you. Not because you're a small audience. Everybody listening at home, it's because we brought 2,300 prizes to this goddamn sold-out venue.
In three boxes.
In three boxes that Chris hauled himself up and down a parking garage. Yeah. While some guy sat there eating a cheesesteak going, that looks heavy.
Yeah. And then he went, this is going to go out the way it came in.
Go Eagles! the East Coast. Gotta love it. Such a charm. Such a go fuck yourself from front to back. This is the city that threw batteries at people at sporting events. Am I not mistaken? Is that like an act of love? Like,
I don't remember batteries specifically.
I remember like...
We were on sports teams, right? Was there batteries? Was there batteries? Oh, wow. I blocked that out.
Yeah. They threw batteries at Santa. That's right. Snowballs at Santa.
Wow.
In the 60s.
Yeah.
So now everybody's nicer.
And they were car batteries.
Yeah. And let's be honest, Santa Claus was being an asshole. I mean, let's call it what it was. You know what I mean? He had a fucking Giants shirt on. They had to take him out. He can suck it. All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to get three people up here, and we're going to do two different trivia games. One is going to be the Kit in Hand trivia game, which we've done on some past live episodes, which will take a famous line of dialogue from a movie, and we'll replace one or more of the words with kitten hands. The example would be like, these aren't the kitten hands you're looking for. Your answer would be droids, the movie would be Star Wars.
So you have to get what was replaced and the movie.
And the movie. And we'll give you hints like it's this kind of, it's this genre of a movie. Or something like that. So, all right, who wants to come up here? Three, raise your hands. This gentleman, all right, you, come on up. Come sit right here. Who else? Come on, Batman shirt. She's terrified.
Sure.
You'll do it right here? All right, come on up. Come on up.
You may or may not have a working mic. All right,
there you go. Yep. Yeah. Pick up the mic.
Do one more prayer. Okay, here we go.
Here you go. Come on up, my friend. Right. So, young lady, tell us your name.
Here you go. You can have this chair.
Andrea.
Andrea. All right. What's your favorite movie?
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction? Speak right into the mic. Why is it your favorite movie?
I never saw anything like it before at the time when I was in high school.
Is Quentin Tarantino your favorite director?
I think Alfred Hitchcock's my favorite director.
Alfred Hitchcock. Good answer. Oh, outstanding. All right.
Favorite Alfred Hitchcock movie?
Notorious.
All right.
Sweet. Good choice. Wow, you're a nerd.
Yeah.
You're at the wrong show. We're going to talk about how great Michael Bay is. Aren't those robots realistic? All right, pass the microphone to this gentleman to your right. What's your name?
Nick.
Nick, what's your favorite movie?
The Incredible Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk.
The good one.
Yeah, I was about to say, which one are you talking about?
Big caveat, yeah.
Which the most recent?
Yeah, the one with Edward Norton.
Yeah, yeah.
The one that Ang Lee didn't direct.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, also, you know, Marvel Hulk was pretty badass.
You like the Hulk in the Avengers movie? You think Mark Ruffalo is going to be better than Edward Norton?
Oh, yeah, I heard he already got signed for 6 movies.
Look at this guy. Fucking on the case. We should throw a battery at him. all right, and then here, let's get this gentleman. Does that reach? Okay. You have a Star Wars shirt on, which is amazing. You have a Stormtrooper.
Yeah. Yep.
From Japan. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And I, by the way, I'm wearing a shirt that says Thug Life, Shoot First. And it's Han Solo.
You can recognize, I don't know.
So, yeah.
Recognize this other podcast shirt?
Dork Forest. Dork Forest. Chris Mancini's wearing a Dork Forest shirt. Everyone listening at home, this is really exciting for them.
Yeah, that's
Oh, I hope they describe more shirts.
Yeah.
What's your favorite painting? All right, tell us your name.
Chris,
you've been to shows here before. I've played against you in Doug Loves Movies,
yeah,
didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, you're lucky I'm not playing against you today. So I'd fucking thump your skull. with a battery.
Yes.
All right, what's your favorite movie?
Transformers 2.
Get the fuck off this stage.
No.
Get the fuck off this stage right now.
I'm only kidding.
Yeah. It's really the first one was way
the first
better.
One is really yeah. That's David Cronenberg's favorite movie.
No, I don't know. My favorite. What's in my head right now is Sunshine, Danny Boyle. But I think it's just because I watched it recently. But awesome movie.
All right, cool. Favorite director?
Right. I don't know. I have to say Chris Nolan right now.
Yeah, he's badass. He's awesome. Yeah. Round of applause for Chris
Absolutely.
Nolan. All right. So here's how we're gonna do this game. I'm gonna say the question and just raise your hand when you think you know it. Audience, don't yell out. There's a lot of you here, so please do not yell out. You could totally.
In other words, don't whisper either.
Don't whisper. Don't blink it in Morse code because that could really throw us off because I can see all of your eyeballs.
Yeah. No foot tapping.
No foot tapping. All right, so we're going to do the Kitten Hands movie trivia first. All right, so this is a war movie. And you raise your hand and then answer, and if you don't get it right, the other two have a chance to steal. The first thing you're playing for is a Helium Comedy Club girls t-shirt. Oh,
yes!
Shit. So hopefully one of the guys will win and wear like a halter top, and it'll be like that two Wong Fu movie. All right, first question. This is a war-themed movie. Remember, raise your hand when you think you know the answer. Kitten hands don't surf. Come on. The crowd's about to
Seriously?
Eat you guys. A war movie. Chris?
Charlie's?
Yes. And the movie? Bing.
Saving Private Ryan?
Get the... Oh!
Sorry.
Oh!
We should make him sit down for that.
You think you know... Apocalypse Now is the correct answer. Right. He gave it half to you. There you go. It's good. You got the girl's shirt. Sorry. Give a round of applause.
Get another chance. It's cool.
All right. And you say your name again. I'm sorry.
Andrea.
Andrea. Nick. Nick and Chris.
Well, Andrea, since you won, then we'll ask you to sit down, and you get to pick another contestant.
You get to pick the next contestant. Mm-hmm. Who do you want to pick? You got to pick your boyfriend or whatever.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Come on up.
Come on up.
What's your name, sir?
Brad.
Brad, come on up here and take Andy. Give them a round of applause.
Woo!
You can do it. Brad knew the answer to that last question, so he's like, he's playing all bashful, like, oh, I don't want to come up there, but in his head, he's like, I'm going to kill these people.
Yeah.
Hand him the microphone real quick. Brad, what's your favorite movie?
Well.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Pulp, right. That's hard. I'd have to say Clockwork Orange comes to mind.
Nice. Clockwork Orange. Choice. Excellent. Excellent movie choice.
All right. Favorite Malcolm McDowell movie?
Clockwork.
All right. It's a trick question.
What's that one where he's naked the whole time?
That's, I think, your homemade porno.
That was called Photoshop.
yeah, what was that?
Or Calypso? Yeah. Or
all right. Thanks, Brad.
I forgot. Yeah.
Thanks for that window into your world. all right, next question here. We're playing for a copy of my CD, Grandma's Palm Strike Dance Party. Come on now.
Right.
This is so exciting.
Also a ringtone.
Also a ringtone. Yes, get it as a ringtone. All right, this is from a movie that was shot here in Philly. Remember, raise your hand, no yelling out from the crowd. I'll hold this like when I was a game show host. Ladies and gentlemen, I kitten hands people. This whole crowd is going to kill you. Shot in Philly, I kitten hands people.
Here's another hint. The director lives here, and since that movie has tried to destroy cinema.
Man.
All right. Chris, are you raising your hand or are you scratching your head? All right, hand him the microphone. Hand him the microphone. There you go.
Is it I See Dead People?
Yes, in the movie.
This is, uh-oh.
Huh? Six, that's all right. Got you.
All right.
We'll give you that for the joke. Give Chris a round of applause. All right, you really want to play. I can tell. You know all these answers. You have to come up. You've been to numerous shows before. Come on up. Give her a round of applause. Give Chris a round of applause. He's been to numerous shows.
All right, let's give her the mic. What's your name?
Corey.
Favorite movie?
Legend.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because Tom Cruise doesn't have a lot of lines. That's like my legitimate reason.
He just looks pretty in armor, and you get to look at Tim Curry in giant makeup.
That's the greatest like devil ever in any movie. He's terrifying, and I love that. So
it does look great, that movie. You just have to watch it with the sound off.
Yeah.
All right, you better win this. All right. Okay, this is another Kitten Hands trivia. Remember, raise your hand if you think you know it. No yelling out from the audience. You guys have been great thus far. This is another movie shot in Philly. You're going to eat kitten and crap hands. Nick. Are you just telling me to fuck off? Is that what just happened? No, that is incorrect. It is a movie shot in Philly. You're
going to eat another hint.
You're going to eat kitten and crap hands. Shot in Philly. A bunch of these movies were shot in Philly. Yes, that's correct. What words are they replacing? Yes, it is. All right, someone in the audience who thinks they know it, raise your hand. No. That's correct. You're going to eat lightning and crap thunder. Your name? Bob just won Myopic Vision CD DVD. Outstanding.
All right.
Good. It was close. You're going to eat lightning. You're going to crap thunder. It makes him chase a chicken around. Come on now, guys. Let's get in the ball game. All right. Now we're going to switch to The movie descriptions game. So this is I do this in my act because the cable companies in the hotel rooms, they make they take amazing classic movies and they boil them down to one line movie descriptions that are ridiculous and make it sound like a Disney classic movie. My favorite example is a boy returns home from the war to take over his family's business, The Godfather. So I'm going to read you one of those. I'm going to give you a clue before I read it. And another one is a family vacation gets a little crazy. Jurassic Park. A factory owner helps get people jobs. Schindler's List. Okay, so what we're going to do...
Oh, wait, I had one of those too. Oh, yeah. A crew works together on a ship until one of them gets sick at dinner. Alien.
All right, so I'm going to read one of those lines, and then again, raise your hand if you think you know what the movie is. All right, no yelling out, audience. So this is from a movie shot in Philadelphia. A security guard reunites with his wife.
I know this one.
If you don't think you can get it, I'm going to give it to the audience. 5, 4, 3.
That helps.
2. Pressure, pressure. Everyone's watching you. Everyone's watching you. This is being recorded. People in other countries are listening to you fail. Your family knows you have failed. You have failed your family's family. All right, guys. Thanks for that. All right. I heard this gentleman over here.
Is it double?
No, sir. Ooh. Unbreakable is correct. What are your names?
Kathy.
You guys were extras in Unbreakable? We're in the stadium scene? Sweet! We'll give them a big round of applause. Those two young ladies want a copy of Pacify Me, right. A handbook for the freaked out new dad, the perfect gift for women.
Next time you go to a baby shower, great gift.
Great gift. And all right, guys, last prize. This is our, like... Price is Right, the people who are the end of the thing, been there all goddamn day, and they're just pissed off. They're just like, I bet a dollar, Bob. Yeah. All right, contestants row. Here we go. This is another fake movie title. All right, this is another movie shot, some of it in Philadelphia. A city employee relaxes in the country. Corey raised her hand and then went, oh, crap.
All right.
You can guess more than once.
Part in Philly. It's not The Happening. I don't know. That's what I was thinking of. Part in Philly, because wasn't that part in, like, Bucks County, I thought?
No. That is incorrect. No one else on the panel thinks they got it? You guys are horrible contestants.
We're better in the audience.
You guys, yeah. Everyone thinks it's easier in the audience. And also, too, when I do the rental car episodes in Doug Loves Movies, people are like, how can you not get that? I'm driving a goddamn car. All right. That is correct. Give him a big round of applause. Give him the book. Give all these contestants a big round of applause.
Good job, guys, thank you.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you to all the people in the audience that actually knew this and won. Apparently the lights is where it all gets people just fucking freak out. I like it. Well, next time we'll just keep you in the dark like a weird closet. All right, well, let's bring out our...
Let's bring out our panel.
Let's bring out our panel. Ladies and gentlemen, our two guests. First, from the Preston and Steve show. You heard us with him this morning. Nick McElwain. Give him a big round of applause.
Come on in.
Come on.
All right. Woo!
And from Freaks and Geeks, he's in town shooting a movie on the National Broadcasting Company network, and he's a regular on Doug Loves Movies. Big round of applause for Mr. Sam Levine, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Sam the man.
Give me the other mic.
See if that...
Real nice operation. Right.
Yeah, you like that?
Real nice.
Well, when you sell out a giant arena, you have last-minute sound issues.
Mm-hmm.
So just try not to talk into it like an idiot the way Chris did. His voice broke it with my timbre.
Powerful man.
Yeah. So First of all, Nick, tell us a little bit about yourself. No, how long have you been on? How long have you been working on Preston and Steve?
Preston and Steve themselves have been on in Philly for 12, 13 years now at this point. I joined the show in 2004, and we've been at MMR for since 2005. So we've been in the studio where we are now for 4-plus years, and the same cast and characters for a long time at this point. So we're doing well. We like the show. We love the station. Everybody treats us really well. Preston and Steve were able to come out and do the show with Doug Benson a couple weeks ago, which was great. Sam was here as well for that, of course.
I was.
That was a great show.
It was wonderful.
So, you know, they're honored to be a part of that, and it's really cool that you were able to invite me out for this tonight as well.
I know for everybody listening who's not in Philly that the Preston and Steve, you can live streams, and then also it's a podcast,
yep,
right?
Yeah, we podcast every day and pretty much podcast the entire show. It's free. We've been podcasting for a really long time, which is great, and it was one of the...
it's right in iTunes. You can get it.
Yeah, you get right and does well in the comedy section. So the website is PrestonandSteve.com or WMMR.com, and you can get all the shows right there.
Outstanding. Cool. What's your favorite film?
Favorite film of all time, Shawshank Redemption. I think it's just
a great
movie. Great story about... It's funny. It's well written. It's well acted.
People forget it's based on a Stephen King short story.
Yeah, novella. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll tell you a funny story about that. The first time I watched it on VHS tape, and a few moments after Andy escapes from Shawshank.
Spoiler alert.
He gets out. He totally gets out.
Right.
Rosebud is a sled, you guys. Rosebud is a sled.
Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's dad.
He kisses his sister in the first one. It's really creepy. Him and Leia totally make out. It's the grossest thing you've ever seen.
So the version that I was watching, my friend Chris had recorded on VHS tape from HBO, and the goddamn tape cuts out. So Andy has made it out of Shawshank, and he's walking into that bank in Portland, and like boxing came on. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I started watching the movie. I was in college, and I had started watching the movie at about 11:30. And so now it's 2 in the morning. Everybody's asleep. I had to wait an entire day to go get another copy. I didn't know how it ended for a day, and I was so engrossed in it. But despite all of that, I still love the movie.
It ends with boxing.
You hate boxing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of boxing.
And then, Nick, who's your favorite filmmaker?
Film editor?
Filmmaker, sorry. I'm mumbling.
Well,
it's my first time doing a show here without Doug, so I'm used to having a contact high, and I don't have one, so my brain doesn't know how to function. Yeah. I'm too alert.
I guess all time, it's there are easy ones like Spielberg, because there really aren't a whole lot of bad ones in the mix, but recently it's Christopher Nolan. I mean,
yeah.
They're just inventive stuff, taking great comic book movies and making them great movies in general, mm-hmm. and compelling and decent acting, not decent, great acting, wonderful cinematography. So Christopher Nolan, especially recently.
Especially, too, when you look at like Inception, which I didn't think for me wasn't like the most amazing movie I've ever seen, but it was still, it's everything he does is compelling and interesting. Like, I will see any one of his movies that he makes because
it's engrossing and engaging. Even if like I was with Graham, like I didn't love the movie, but I appreciated it, because even when a filmmaker does something different that I don't necessarily kind of, you know, relate to, it's still a great watch. It really is.
Right.
And that's a mark of a great filmmaker. That's, even the ones that are like, well, I don't love this movie, but I still appreciate what he was doing.
It's like Clint Eastwood. Unless he's talking to a chair, I love watching what he does.
That's why every magic trick has a third act, the hardest part, the part called the prestige.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you. That's my mic.
That was...
Which started off weird, but got a little better.
Yeah.
To Nolan's possibly worst film. Yeah.
I thought you just lost your shit and were just doing some crazy-ass voice. I just thought Sam went fucking bananas and just decided, I'm going to throw in a crazy voice. That's how I'm going to shake it up for this show.
I might do that.
So, Sam,
first of all,
tell everybody what show you're shooting here in Philadelphia.
It is a television program called Do No Harm, which you can all see. In fact, I beg you all to watch it when it begins airing in February of next year on NBC. It's an awesome medical drama with a Jekyll and Hyde twist, and I am going to win Emmys for it. So thank you in advance, Academy.
Congrats.
Thank you so much.
It's an honor to sit up here with you today, Sam.
Thank you.
Doing your acceptance speech now, your pre-expectant speech.
I want to set the tone.
Now, just as I don't want you to give any spoilers away, but as the show progresses, you've been shooting. Does someone do any harm?
Oh God, I can't believe you put me in this position. Yes, someone does harm. Oh,
spoiler alert.
Yes. Yeah, harm is done.
Is there a crotchety nurse in the hospital that's tired of taking shit from the young bucks?
Maybe. Maybe she's up on stage with you now. Wait, that's so sexist. You said nurse. You didn't give any gender to it.
No.
You see how our brains work, people? It's not fair. It's not fair.
Is there a love triangle?
There's a love hexagon.
Nice.
It's a very complicated show. I think we may have bitten off more than we can chew, to be honest.
And before the show, you're saying, tell who the main actors, the leads
are. The lead is a very handsome, talented guy named Stephen Pasquale, who was on Rescue Me for its entire run. Felicia Rashad is in the program. John Carroll Lynch, who's in one of my favorite movies, Zodiac, is on the program.
We were talking about Zodiac before we came out here. John Carroll Lynch, tell everybody who plays
Arthur Lee Allen in the movie, the most likely Zodiac suspect. He's the one who the police have that interrogation with at his job, and his watch has the Zodiac symbol on it, and it really looked like he was the guy who did it. I want to talk to John about that. Yeah. We haven't had an opportunity yet.
Because that movie, to me, it was so, first of all, it's a haunting story, and they captured it so correctly. I remember watching Zodiac going, if this wasn't a true story, I would be like, these detectives are morons. Like, how could they not fucking solve it? I would be like, this is bullshit. There's no way they wouldn't solve it.
Yeah.
And back then, what they went through.
Because in real life, no crime goes unsolved.
Never. Do you watch Law and Order? Thank you.
Yeah. It's like 44 minutes, done.
Yeah, wrap it up. So, cool.
Yeah, man. Boy, you want to step out back and take a cup? Because, man, you are a mess today.
I am horrible.
Hey,
Well, I wanted to ask, Sam, what's your favorite film and favorite director?
Clockwork Orange and Quentin Tarantino.
Ah.
And not just because he hired me. I was already a big fan.
Yes, right on.
Must have mentioned that when you met him.
That the Clockwork Orange was my favorite movie. I did. Yes. We talked about it a bunch. No, of course I told him what a huge fan of his I was and what an impact his films have had on me as an actor and a fan of film and
for those
cinema.
Of you that don't know, Sam was in Inglourious Bastards.
Yes, you need to watch it with a pause button, but I was in there. We had lots of talks about movies and the history of cinema and... God, that guy's fucking crazy.
A French theater owner has a special event for some German friends, Inglourious Bastards.
Yep.
A young man listens to Beethoven, Clockwork Orange. I could do this all day.
You're really good.
Let's talk about movies set and shot in Philadelphia and kind of talk about our favorite ones. I want to see you guys, your favorites, because a lot of movies have been shot here. Some of them Philly's not as proud of as the others. But there was a lot when I started researching, like, oh yeah, that movie, and like, oh yeah, that movie. And then, although interestingly, the Alan Arkin, Cal Burnett movie, Choo Choo and the Philly Flash, shot in San Francisco.
The Philadelphia Story?
Yeah.
Shot in Culver City.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was. There's like two exterior scenes here.
Yep.
And the rest of it was shot on a soundstage.
So, I'm going to start off by mentioning my favorite kind of Philly movies and why. And one of them definitely as far off the rails as M. Night has gone. Sixth Sense was an amazing movie.
Yeah.
And it really just kind of
captured... you can clap. You can do that. You're allowed to express yourself.
And the thing I loved about that movie, not only was it a really cool story, it had a twist you didn't see coming, but also... Philadelphia was a character in that movie. It really felt like, okay, Philadelphia is part of the story. And that was one of the reasons I really loved about it. And it was because, he's from here. He understands what kind of makes Philadelphia tick a little bit. And that Philadelphia is a great city to be miserable in. Those kind of little pieces that he puts in the movie
Fuck
are
you.
Really amazing.
And I say that as a lifelong Philadelphian.
Yeah. But you're not arguing with me.
No. Yeah, that's how I agree with people.
That is. That's like a hug.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Like giving a kid a lollipop. Hey, fuck you, kid.
Yeah.
kid comes home with a, hey, Daddy, I drew a horse. Go fuck yourself. How's that sound? We're putting that
on
the fridge.
Why don't you go back the way you came in?
Yeah. I'm putting this on the fridge, on the inside.
Yes. By the way, that's extremely liberating because we're not allowed to say fuck you on our radio program. So to be able to do that like on yours is, I feel better.
Welcome to the internet.
Yes.
My fear, because like, I've been doing, especially recently, I've been a guest on so many podcasts. I had to go in, because it's been a while since I've done live radio, because I've been doing so many podcasts. I had to go in there and be like, don't swear. Don't make some weird...
Don't make them reach for the dump button.
Yeah, don't make them just shoot me out the window, because I'm like, aha, pearl necklace, or whatever. Like, Graham, get the fuck out. Well, they get the dip out.
Although I will say, today, as I was listening to the show, the phrase finger blast was used very liberally.
That's one of our recent favorites.
Yeah,
it's worked its way into the lexicon, and we're pretty proud of it. So we say it almost every day at this point, several times a day. But back to The Sixth Sense. Sorry for interrupting.
Speaking of finger blasts, no, I want to say this. Like you were talking about M. Night using the city as a backdrop. I love it.
And just the colors. And the, you know, with the grays and the reds and the way he really just captured the look and feel of the city. I thought it was amazing.
Because, you know, obviously New York has been shot a million times and the million filmmakers that have a love affair with New York, whatever. And I love it when a city like Philly that isn't used as much as somebody who lives here shows it, because it opened it up for me, just who'd never been here, like, oh, wow, that's what Philly is. I love a movie that brings you into that town or that area or that culture. I just wish he would have understood what swimming pools were when he did Lady in the Water. All right, a lot of swimming pool fans here tonight. They're like, we really like women who are ghosts in a condo complex. Maybe nobody saw it. That's why it's going on.
You know, it's funny with Knight's movies, though, and any movie that's shot in Philadelphia, and I did, I grew up here, I've been here my whole life, I'll go see the movie just because it was shot here, and you sort of take pride in it, and there was another Night Shyamalan movie that wasn't that great of a movie, but it was shot right near my house, was The Happening, and I rode my bike to where it was being filmed, and I was like, and now I drive past that almost every day, and so just to see that on film... For a Philadelphian, is a pretty cool thing. Even if it ends up not being a great movie, the How Do You Know, the Jack Nicholson turd. It was an awful movie, but it shot right in Center City, and you watch it and you're like, all right, you get a little bit of sense of pride in it. And even if it's not a great movie, if it makes the city look good, I think we kind of embrace it.
Now, do you remember the movie Two Bits, Al Pacino's movie that was shot here?
No.
Now, that was a while ago. The interesting thing about that is they came in with a ton of money, and they threw a bunch of fake snow all over the city to shoot it, and then no one saw the movie.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's disappointing.
Well, yeah. I want to get back to what you're talking about, specifically to The Sixth Sense, of, you know, as a film fan and as someone who loved The Sixth Sense. When I was coming in from the airport on Wednesday, we drove by the exterior of that stadium that Bruce Willis worked at. And I was like, oh, shit, that's where Samuel Jackson, you know, he thinks Samuel Jackson's trying to scan. And Unbreakable. Yeah, that's right, not Sixth Sense. And Unbreakable, which is another movie that I absolutely love. And the fact that it, again, he used Philly. He used, you know, it was a train accident. It was very specific to, like, Philly and the East Coast that he came in and the school he worked at and all that stuff. And I really dug that. And I love driving around any city and going, I live in L.A. and I've been living there for a long time. And I still go, oh, that's where I'll see a fire truck. I'm like, oh, that's from Emergency 51, that TV show I watched when I was a kid. So I really dig that. And that's what I like about Unbreakable.
And the next movie I actually put down.
And then I go, oh, my God, those are those trees that Mark Wahlberg had that weird high-pitched voice when he go, what's happening with the trees? Why are the trees attacking me? So it's really nice memory lane that I get to go down.
If the trees could have not been in that movie, they would have chosen not to be.
Yeah.
The other movie that I really, really loved that was also set in Philadelphia and that used the city a little bit, but in a weird way, was 12 Monkeys. I thought that was... Yeah. An amazing use of Philadelphia. Everything from time travel to animals walking around a dilapidated and decaying Philadelphia in the future. I thought that was really cool. The future.
I saw a couple of wild lions on my way here tonight. There is no order in this city at all.
That's the Wanamaker building that they that they shoot those scenes in. Yeah. And they also used the Wanamaker building for another Philly movie, Mannequin, when they shot the in the storefront scenes with Kim Cattrall.
And holy shit, Nick. You are a goddamn encyclopedia about I'm every insane movie that's ever been.
And Mannequin on the Move.
Yeah, not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that weird? The sequel to Mannequin didn't hold up?
Yeah,
oh.
Hey, you know, Mannequin 2's got Terry Kaiser in it, better known as Bernie.
Wow.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, they didn't stay true to the source material in Mannequin 2.
Yeah,
that's
Mannequin
really...
2 was just a money grab. They didn't care about the integrity set up by Mannequin 1.
Yeah, didn't have the same auteur director from the first one. Who I have no idea who the fuck directed the first one.
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. But the Spielberg was spelled differently.
That's right. Which is non-union Mexican equivalent. Yeah. Senor Spielbergo. That's a Simpsons joke. I will not take any credit for that whatsoever.
Mr. Burns hired him.
That's right.
Yeah, I
That's
remember
right.
that episode.
So, Sam, what are some of your favorite movies that are shot here?
Probably Avatar, The Last Airbender. Yeah. The movie just speaks to me. It speaks to me. You get a sense of Philly when you see that movie. Trading Places is my favorite Philadelphia movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what did you love about that movie and how they used Philly in it?
There's so many exteriors in that movie. And so that was the first time I really got to, like, see a city. I remember that, you know, that movie came out when I was really young. And so I remember seeing that and, like, seeing a city that wasn't New York, where I grew up outside of. And so I'd love the, you know, the stuffs in all the scenes in front of the, I forget what building is that, where he gets kicked out of and then, why can't I think? What is it?
Like
anyone
the
know?
The league where he's the
I don't know. I sound like a
where the Duke
right
brothers
now,
go to the social club area.
Yeah, and where Jamie Lee Curtis first approaches him on the steps there. I love that stuff, and then also another great train sequence.
Yeah,
you know,
we all like trains,
Philly and trains, 30th Street Station. What?
Shout out!
See you there, Bruce Willis. We have a meeting every week.
Oh, really?
He puts on the poncho just for me.
The Philly train meeting?
Yep.
I thought that was an attempt at a catchphrase. See you there, Bruce Willis.
That's hashtag that when you tweet about this show. See you there, Bruce Willis. Boom, shagalike. He has been in a bunch of Philly movies. Is he from here?
He grew up right across the river in South Jersey. And is still loyal to the area. His family's still here. So, he did two night movies, right? Unbreakable and Sixth Sense.
And 12 Monkeys.
And 12 Monkeys. Yeah. And, yeah. So he's done a lot.
He wasn't in Fat Albert, though.
No.
See you there, Fat Albert.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, it doesn't. No. See you there, Bruce Willis. See you there, Looper. New movie.
Yeah.
Come on, looking good.
Now, let's talk about a movie that is called Philadelphia, but doesn't really use the city that much. Now, Philadelphia, when this movie first came out, this was the Tom Hanks, Antonio Banderas movie. It came out, and the opening of this movie was amazing.
And Denzel Washington, I think, has a cameo in it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that Banderas is the two bill on that one.
Yeah, this
plays
before,
the gay boyfriend who's in like two scenes in a sailor outfit.
He was.
But I think Denzel might have.
All right, this was pre-Shrek. Yeah. Right. So, well, the interesting thing about this movie I found was that they really spent so much time capturing the spirit and look of Philadelphia in the Bruce Springsteen music video.
Yep.
And then the rest of the movie was like, oh, this could have been shot anywhere.
Well, I think from what I read about that film was it was there was an actual – the first like court case was, I believe, from an attorney here in Philadelphia. Like it was based loosely on a true story. I think that's why they stuck with the title and wanted to keep it here. But then it was obviously more about AIDS in the court case and not about Philly. But they still could have just called it.
You just called it AIDS in the court case. Yeah.
And there's AIDS in the court case back to back like a romantic comedy.
AIDS versus Philadelphia. Yes. Who will win?
They're back to back, and then Antonio Banderas is between them going, thumbs up.
We get a Dr. J cameo in that movie. Denzel serves papers at the Spectrum at a Sixers game, and Dr. J is in the suite, so Dr. J shows up. I know exactly what you mean, though. It's not like The Sixth Sense or Trading Places, where you're seeing a lot of the town. Tom Hanks is in the library working pretty hard, and that's at the University of Pennsylvania. But I think if you're not from Philadelphia, you don't quite know that, other than the name of the movie, that it's really a part of Philadelphia. It's not necessarily a part of the theme of the movie, I guess.
Well, Nick, right. You were talking about before the show today that there was like a book that...
Yeah, it's called Filmadelphia, and it lists every movie...
See you there, Filmadelphia!
Yeah!
Every movie that's ever been shot here, filmed here, or TV shows that have been set here. It's a really comprehensive...
Was it written by Bruce Willis?
No, it was written by a guy named Irv Schlechter, I think. And I happened to pick it up
over the
weekend.
Which is Antonio Banderas' pen name.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He was
I believe that's his Hebrew name.
Yeah, much more Eastern European.
When he had his bris, yes, that's yeah. Antonio, your name is Irv Schlechter. And he goes, can I just keep Antonio as my stage name? I don't want to have to be a CPA or an orthodontist. Anyway, Nick, you were saying about this
book. It's a cool history, and it's got a lot of synopsis and descriptions of movies that were shot here, not necessarily that took place here and vice versa. There's a movie called Tenth and Wolf that came out a few years ago that takes place in Philadelphia, but they shot it in Pittsburgh, which I never understand. Philly has actually
They needed more rivers.
I guess.
You've only got the one, two, maybe.
We got two.
They needed three full rivers.
Feel like you only have one river and you can't touch it.
Yeah.
What's the name of that river again?
Schuylkill.
The name made it dirty. You know what I mean?
Really?
That name is like this, like, oh, you Schuylkilled in it. Oh.
Yeah.
They spilled a whole 100 barrels of Schuylkill. The fucking river's fried. Go back the way you came, asshole.
It's like how my Yiddish grandfather would talk about like fucking my grandmother 80 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, full of car batteries.
Did you Schuylkill it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, that river is Yiddish for pork.
Yep.
Did you Schuylkill her? You want to Schuylkill some broads tonight?
Go out Schuylkilling. Yeah.
Seriously, is anyone going to go Schuylkilling tonight after the show? We're available. We'll autograph your Schuylkill after the show.
Free Schuylkills at the table. Just bring your ID.
Hashtag Schuylkill.
All right, Graham, so you...
Well, here's what I want to talk about, too. I want to talk about, obviously, the Rocky movies, because that, for me, that was my first introduction into Philadelphia. And I think that's why, going back to what M. Night did, was he showed this other... Like, all I thought Philly was guys in front of trash cans that were on fire, you know what I mean, throwing balls against the wall, fighting, and leather jackets. That's all I thought this city was. And then I'd watch an Eagles game on TV and go, oh, I'm absolutely fucking correct. That's what's happening as they're fucking gang-raping Santa after they lose.
Yeah.
So that to me, and also growing up in Chicago, I loved movies that showed the gritty part of Chicago. So all of the Rocky movies and the special,
which was all of them.
Which was all of them. Well, the story of it, you know, I think was sort of indicative of Philadelphia in a sense. Like, it's sort of it's in the shadow of New York. You know what I mean?
And DC.
And DC. Yeah. So he's like in the shadow. He's this like, you know, broken down guy, they can't get a shot, this is his one shot. That whole, you know, speech that he gives to Adrian about, you know, getting close to the fight, he's like, I don't think I can even win, you know what I mean? I just want to go the distance with this guy. That's all. If I, after 15 rounds, if I can just not get knocked out, then I did it. And that to me was like, oh, that's such an underdog. Like, I don't even need to win at all. I just need to not look like an asshole, you know, like, and it's so everything. And the young girls that he's giving the speech to. And then afterwards she goes, screw you. You know, I was like, this is a lovely city. She needs to get Schuylkilled. I already forgot the name of the thing.
Schuylkilled.
Schuylkilled. Schuylkilled is a different term. That's what we call it in Chicago. You use an extra thumb. So that to me, like, and how just how depressing it is. Like when Mick, you know, kicks him out, and then comes up, walks up those long flights of stairs, and says, "Hey, you know, Nick's got a hat in his hand. Like I'll be your manager." And then as you know, Rocky tells him, "Fuck you." And then as he's walking down the stairs, Rocky's just screaming about how shitty his life is. And you just, that's when he's just slowly walking down the stairs, and he knows it because he's 30 years, 40 years in the future of that, you know? And just that whole, yeah, bum, I ain't no bum, yeah, bum, you know, everything about it, man. And like you say, that whole, and a lot of cities have that, you know, the local boy done good is what that movie is all about. You know, when he finally does it, it's like what you say, you'll see any movie that's shot here because you grew up here. And that to me was what that whole movie was about. A guy from a tough side of a tough town. He's really hasn't had many breaks, you know, and he finally gets one, and the music is sad, you know what I mean? Like, dun, dun, dun. You know, everything about it is so awesome. And it was my first introduction into the city, and I absolutely loved it. And I'll see Rocky 48 when it comes out, when he comes back from the grave with a robotic hand and he's fighting in the Avatar planet.
Yes. These are the movies about Spider Rico that you're talking about, right?
Yes, the Spider Rico story.
So yeah. I was confused there.
Yeah, that first fight was Spider Rico.
I only watched the first 3 minutes of any movie. You should know that.
Spider Rico movie.
It's interesting you mention that with Rocky, dude, because that's sometimes a theme in Philadelphia movies, like that movie, the football movie. Movie came out, Invincible. You guys remember that movie?
Yeah, about Nick Papale. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And that was it. Kind of like tread some of the same ground.
That's an underrated movie. And when you talk about Philly being a character in a movie,
definitely part of it.
When Philadelphia was as depressed as it could be in the 70s, the way that they shot Invincible and made it feel that gritty, and the economy was in the shitter, and then people were striking outside. I thought that they did a great job of that, and the Eagles were terrible that year. And the,
playing football in the parking lot.
Yeah,
people
and
were doing that.
The victory at the end of the movie gets us to like a 3-13 season. You know, that's how uplifting that movie was. We won one game against the Giants or something that season. But I know exactly what you mean. Like when you get the Rocky theme brought into anything, it is inherently Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I did love Invincible because I'm a sucker for a football movie. Mm-hmm. And again, based on a true story. And it's Rudy, but the Philadelphia version of Rudy.
Yeah, Notre Dame sucks. So.
This is the one where it's the former lead singer of Steel Dragon gets to play for the Eagles.
Yes, the former lead singer of Steel Dragon. That's absolutely right. Yeah.
Man, that guy just looks into all the best jobs.
Yes, and then he plays football against Spider Rico. So that's exactly, and Antonio Banderas is the coach. But his name is Irv Schlechter. And he Scoogles Papali's wife. It's a great film, guys.
So I'm a big Philly sports fan, and a sad state of affairs here in town is that the greatest sports hero that we have in Philadelphia is fictional. And he doesn't even win at the end of the movie. He loses to Apollo, and it's like, so, but I know exactly what you mean, Graham. It's a great movie. The scene where Rocky is courting Adrian, and he corners her in the room like he would corner an opponent in the boxing ring, and he literally moves in on her. It's a really sweet movie, and for somebody who kind of has become a bit of a punchline like Stallone, when you watch a movie like that, you're like, man, this guy was incredible, and he wrote it and it won Best Picture, and so yeah, it's
he
just,
held out to direct it too. Yeah. Well, we don't want you to direct it. Like, well, no, then not making it without me. And then they went, well, okay.
But they didn't want him to star in it. I mean, it's such a classic Hollywood story. They offered him, he was broke, you know, he had no money. They offered him 10 grand. He said no, and 20, then 30, then 40, then 50, and he was like,
Every time I drive down, like in L.A., there's a street, Balboa Boulevard, and that's actually when he was in L.A. That's how he got the name, was Rocky Balboa.
Oh,
was,
really?
Yeah, wow, yeah. When cool. He was driving through, which is good because L.A.'s got a lot of fucked up street names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good he didn't go with Rocky La Rocky, Cienega.
Yeah, or Rocky, yeah.
Rocky El Segundo.
Yeah. Rocky Sepulveda. Yeah.
That's nice. Use the good L.A. local humor here in Philly. It's going to go
Rocky Sepulveda.
Rocky 17th Street. Yeah, Philly. Doesn't have the same ring to it. There's not a name to it.
See you there, Bruce Willis. I forgot the catchphrase. But I wanted to go back to Invincible real quick. Was Invincible to me captured all of the scenes in the bar with, and there's definitely some like standard sports movie cliche stuff that they do in there.
Right.
But again, it's that thing. This is a real guy, and the trial. Like when you say it's the city is the character. The tryouts.
The city needs something. It needs something to get them rallied behind.
And like the tryouts that they have and all of these wing nuts, you know, and I talked to a buddy of mine that played professional sports. He goes, when anytime a professional sports team has open tryouts, they are literally looking for one guy. And it's like open auditions, if you've ever been to open auditions for anything in show business.
And they weren't even seriously looking for that one guy.
They were just, it was a publicity stunt, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that guy in the cape, you know what
I'm saying? That's Tony Luke, and he's a local sandwich maker, and he has that's a cameo in the movie, and Tony's a great guy.
And he's my wife's cousin.
Really?
Yeah.
And his sandwiches are awesome.
Yeah.
How come we don't have sandwiches at this damn show?
This is being taped, right? So, Plugola.
Yeah.
Plugola. All right, we'll go. What else do we got here? We've talked about.
Want to move on to a summer movie wrap up?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, we got
a little bit of time left, so we want to switch gears and kind of go. Now the summer movie season has pretty much been winding down, and we wanted to kind of go through and see what you guys were really impressed with this summer, stuff you hated this summer, and maybe something that surprised us. So
Sam, start us off.
I thought Jurassic Park was great.
Yeah,
I haven't been to the movies in a while. I'm sorry.
Those dinosaurs, Spielberg captured the jungle was its own character. It was.
I really want to go there. Check out where they shot all that stuff. Yeah. Really make it feel like home.
It's a true story.
B. Yep.
Site B really.
Site B. Yep.
Captured the feel of Site A.
Mm-hmm. I thought The Avengers was awesome.
Yeah,
Avengers is great. I know some people did not like it. I thought
it was a great comic book summer. I thought.
Yeah,
it was. It was really good. You didn't. The thing about this summer that was interesting is you didn't have that one unbelievably horrible comic book movie. Every summer there's always at least one. Last year it was Green Lantern, and was it the same year? Green Hornet.
Yep. It was a very green, shitty summer.
Yeah, that was
summer.
A double shot of green shit. But this year. The worst comic book movie, in my opinion anyway, was the Spider-Man movie. And it wasn't like the disaster that, like, say, Green Lantern was.
Yeah, no, it was. But, Sam, why did you like Avengers so much? What was your...
Well, I'm actually not a comic book fan. So I don't see the comic book movies and think, oh, they're not being faithful to the story. Or
so you think they're just real, these people.
Absolutely. Wait a second. Are you telling me that is not based on a true story?
Hang on.
No, I thought it was great because there's every moment worked. Every scene worked.
Thor is actually a sandwich guy in Philly. I don't know if you knew that.
Vincent D'Onofrio, yeah, right?
Yes, yes. That's how he makes his sandwiches.
When are they going to bring him back to play Thor? God damn it. I thought all of it worked, and especially Scarlett Johansson in the movie Black Widow.
Yeah.
Her power is that she can manipulate men into giving up secret information, which I don't know if you've been paying attention in life, but every woman has that power. That's not unique to her. What the fuck?
Yes, that's actually...
That's true. That is accurate.
Yeah, that's why I'm...
In a relationship, it's accurate.
No, I'm paying fucking alimony for that very goddamn superpower.
Yeah. 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 Black Widow's superpower is she's female.
This is not the alimony you're looking for.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't want to fly up into a goddamn rage.
And I also love Dark Knight Rises. Which I will tell you this, grew on me incredibly with a second viewing.
Yeah, it is one of those films that, like, and I think all three of them, Batman Begins, Returns and Rises, I think all of them, the more you, for me at least, the more you watch them,
there's
so much more to appreciate, which goes back to what, you know, you were saying, both of you said earlier, it's Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing and how he's casting a movie and how he's shaping it and how he's using the right amount of the source material.
When you know the third part, that's the prestige.
That's Michael Caine.
That's the worst Michael Caine.
That was Michael Caine?
It's more like Michael Keaton.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was Michael Keaton's Batman.
Michael Keaton doing Michael Caine.
Wow. There wasn't a hint of English. There was nothing near the UK. It's not even like South Africa or a guy who just went to Oxford for a semester. It was fucking nothing. It was Vince Papale doing Michael Caine.
You princes of mine. You kings of New England.
Getting closer.
That's Michael Caine trying to do American. So I'm in the ballpark now.
That's the Cider House rules. All right. So what was your Sam? What was your biggest like disappointment of the summer?
Oh boy. Cosmopolis. How about that?
Yeah, talk about, you saw that, because I was talking about why David Cronenberg's a moron for saying, I like many of his other movies.
I love Cronenberg. History of Violence was awesome. The Fly is a classic. Videodrome is a great, trippy movie.
Existence.
Yeah, but Cosmopolis, I went and saw that with a couple of the cast from the show. We had to walk out. It was unwatchable. And I do not walk out of movies. Literally, the only other movie in my lifetime I've ever actually walked out on was My Father, the Hero, starring Katherine Heigl and Gerard Depardieu.
You walked out of a Katherine Heigl movie?
I know. I was doing it before it was popular. But
wait a minute. You walked into a Katherine Heigl movie?
Unfortunately. Yep. Yep. But yeah, Cosmopolis just was diarrhea on the screen. I didn't know what was going on. Did anyone in this room see it or attempt to?
No.
Exactly. I challenge you to sit through this movie and have some idea of what's going on in at least the first hour. Honest to God, I'm
not
kidding.
What happens? What does he do?
Nothing happens! Fucking Edward the Vampire is driving around in a limousine in Manhattan. Women come in and have sex with him. Then he yells at them in unusually wordy ways. Then they leave.
Well, he's a vampire.
No. It's just, what's his face? Robert Pattinson. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this Cronenberg movie?
Yeah. This is Cosmopolis. And then his limo driver keeps telling him someone's going to kill him. I don't know if what happens at the end. Maybe he dies. Who the fuck knows? I don't. I didn't stay for it. It was the most bizarre thing I've tried to sit through in a long, long, long time.
What could have saved it?
Gorillas are funny. It's a Christopher Walken line. It's on SNL.
That is like 15 layers of obscure, my friend.
Something
Christopher Walken said to me at the deli. None of you have ever heard it, but if you would, you would really get this joke.
I think it's gorilla suits are funny, is the line. But that's why anytime Chris Walken did SNL, there was always a sketch with someone in a gorilla suit, by the way. I gotta go.
Do Christopher Walken's accent.
I know you tried.
Gorilla suits are funny.
There you go.
Thank you.
Wow, that's you. That's the best Michael Caine I've ever heard.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Hanging out with Kevin Pollak has paid off.
Wow, that was so good. People were throwing batteries.
Go back the way you fucking came, asshole.
All right, so Nick, what are some of your? What was your favorite movie this summer?
I had two flights, international flights that were 9 hours long each, so I had plenty of time to watch a whole bunch of movies. And I'll tell you one that it's embarrassing that I liked it as much as I did. American Reunion, the American.
All right.
Pie.
Oh, yeah.
The last one.
Don't be embarrassed. It's got some funny moments.
I enjoyed that, and I liked the movie when the original when it came out. So just seeing the cast reunite. The ones that you guys mentioned are easy but obvious choices. Dark Knight Rises was incredible, and we were talking with Matt Atchity of Rotten Tomatoes, and he said the difference between Dark Knight Rises and the Avengers was the Avengers was just. It was a great movie. It was just a lot more fun. Dark Knight Rises was a lot darker, a lot more serious. Mm-hmm. And, any movie, most movies these days with Robert Downey Jr., I'm going to watch just because he's entertaining. He's a lot of fun to watch. So,
especially in Less Than Zero.
Yes. Good times. It's kind of like Iron Man.
Now you have to see both those movies to get those jokes.
No, those were good. And then I saw a movie called Friends with Kids. It had Adam Scott from Parks and Rec is in that. And
Johnny Hams?
Yeah, Johnny Ham. Johnny 2M Ham.
Kristen Wiig is in it as well. And that was a really cute, well-written movie. And then one I really have to recommend very highly if you're at all in a stand-up comedy is Sleepwalk With Me by Mike Birbiglia. It's a great movie. Mm-hmm. And it's a really sweet love story about him and his girlfriend and how their relationship grows. But mostly it's about a stand-up comedy on the road and how these guys develop their careers. And it focuses on Mike. It's sort of a fictionalization of his life. I think his name in the movie is Matt
Barbaglia or something, you know?
Yeah.
It's really close.
Is, yeah, Mark yeah. Maron is Mark, you know, Maroney or
exactly,
something.
Exactly, yeah.
They're all very close.
But it's just a really heartwarming movie, and to get a behind-the-scenes look into what stand-up comedy is like and how difficult it is pretty remarkable. And starting off with, like, literally three or four jokes that you're telling in the college coffee house to a comedian now that I really like, and he makes me laugh every time I go and see him, and he can do an hour and a half and tell stories up on stage. So the progression is what I really enjoyed in that movie.
Cool.
Sleepwalk With Me.
And what movie was the biggest disappointment for you?
It's also American Reunion. Because by the end
nobody
of that,
Scoogled a pie?
No. I was like six glasses of free wine on the International Flight Inn, and I passed out at the end of it, so I don't know what happens.
So your drunkenness is the disappointment, or the movie got boring?
I just kept drinking.
Yeah.
And
so how is the film disappointing?
Or did boxing come on at the end?
No, maybe I just was tired of being on the plane at that point because it was a really long flight.
So don't watch that movie after 9 hours of international travel.
Yeah.
And
flip on the episode of Friends from 2002 that they have on free TVs.
All right, we still have the NBC license. Play it.
Sweet. What do you? I want to ask you this, Nick. What are you most looking forward to the movies that are kind of coming out as we're kind of starting to get an Oscar season a little bit? Have you seen any trailers coming up that you're like, I'm really excited to see this movie?
You know what? One I watched yesterday was the Sean Penn movie. Where he plays essentially a Robert Smith-like character from The Cure. It's the title of a Talking Heads song.
Yeah.
Anybody know it?
No. What is? I haven't.
This must be the place.
This must be the place. Yeah, or It Must Be the Place. Yeah. It looks really freaky, but really compelling. The premise is he's a washed-up rock star. He dresses and looks like Robert Smith, you know, from the 80s, but continues to dress and look this way now. His father, I think, or grandfather was in Auschwitz, and he's trying to track down these Nazi war criminals, but it's like it's a straight movie. It just looked really odd and really bizarre, and like a movie that when you go and see it, you'll be thinking about it for a long time to come.
And again, Sean Penn is one of those guys. Like, I'm going to go see what he does,
yeah,
because it's going to be interesting, it's going to be compelling, and when a good actor like that gets good behind the lens, he knows how to direct actors. You know, he really knows how to shoot actors and direct actors, and I think that'll be cool. Sam, what about you? What are you excited about that's coming up?
I don't know. I honestly don't even know what's coming up. All the movies that I knew about were coming up this summer. I don't know, The Avengers 2?
Yeah, that's exciting. 2015. Book your tickets
fair?
Now, Sam.
I say that.
Way to look forward.
Iron Man 3?
Yeah, yes. Get excited about it.
Am I reaching too far ahead?
Thor 2.
Thor 2.
Yeah, they're all
Captain America 2.
Yeah, they're all in development.
They're all in development. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a really good show on NBC, like February.
Yeah? Yeah.
Heard about that.
Tell me about it. I'm going to stay home this winter.
Well, it's shot in Philadelphia, Sam.
Screw the movies.
It's like getting a movie every week in your home.
For free.
Yeah.
And it's about doctors. Yeah. So it's crazy. What was your favorite, Chris?
I have to say, it was still same with everybody else, Avengers and Dark Knight. But there was a couple movies that I really liked. Like towards the end of the summer, I really liked Expendables 2. It was that kind of movie I really, especially when you grew up kind of watching 80s action movies, it had that nostalgia factor. Like, oh yeah, I saw these guys kick ass years ago. Now they're still doing it, even though they look all leathery and they can't really move their legs. But it was a weird mix of, like, it was almost like a feel-good, nostalgic action shoot-em-up movie. Like, you put aside reality and physics and all that stuff. And it had those wonderful cliches in it, like the goofy dialogue. And then my favorite was like, oh, there's a new guy on the team in his 20s. What's going to happen to him in the second scene? But things like that, and then like Chuck Norris comes on for a couple of scenes, and he's like in his 70s, and they're shooting guys and kicking ass, and it was that weird, like, nostalgic, really fun action-y feel, like stuff blows up real good in that movie, and it finally hit the right tone. Like, the first one was okay, but it felt like it took itself a little too seriously. This one, it realized, yeah, this is what we're making. You're either on board or you're not. And there's like this really extended long scene, people shooting it in the airport. Like, well, there's no way in the first scene there were only about 10 bad guys. Now we're on about the 50th who just got shot. So it's really, it's the same 10 guys that you keep getting shot over and over in the movie, but you don't mind. They just change bandanas and they get shot again.
Extras are expensive in that part of the world.
It's like, I think he was setting up a light. Now he got shot. All right, now they start using the crew, and you can see. So it was that kind of brainless, fun, action-y type movie. But, you know, I saw Neil, another writer for the site. We saw it together, and we just giggled through the entire movie.
Oh, that's what that should. Really that's fun. What that film should be.
It was
be.
A
that's...
really fun popcorn movie.
I'm also looking for, I thought of two real ones. The Master, the Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And Daniel Day-Lewis as Abraham Lincoln.
Both those look awesome.
Vampire
awesome.
Hunter.
Yeah.
He does not hunt vampires in this one. He does not hunt vampires. I made sure of it.
I just saw the trailer for that new P.T. Anderson movie, and I'm like, I'm in. Like, he makes a movie, what, every 7 years or something like that? So I'm on board with that one.
That's sort of a veiled reference to Scientology? Is that what that's what, like, the Master's...
It's less than veiled.
Okay,
it's pretty on the money.
That's it's L. Ron Hubbard as Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and Tom
Cruise. As much as he can get away with without getting sued.
Okay. Yeah. The lead character is L. Lon Lubbard.
Yeah, and it's Flyoncology.
Yeah.
And it's Ron Fruz. Yeah. Picking girlfriends. I could do this all day. A young soldier goes cereal shopping. The Hurt Locker. All right. The end of that movie. I obviously love Dark Knight Rises. We've talked about it. There's a whole... If anyone's new to this show, we did a whole spoiler alert episode of Dark Knight Rises where it's only for people that have seen the movie, where we talked about everything about it. So,
and then the first half, the first episode is if you haven't seen the movie, so we broke it up into two.
With Mike Schmidt, so it came out whatever in July. It's episode like 120-ish or something like that. So if you want to hear me really go off on that, you can.
And we argued about the voice being...
You have my permission to listen to the podcast when I give you permission.
Michael
Bond! Yes. Okay. Mr. Bond, we meet again, Mr. Bond.
Is that Christopher Walken? I'm trying to figure
prestige.
This out. That's Bane. That's Bane.
There's so much cereal, I don't know what to pick.
Bane in the Hurt Locker. Yes. Outstanding. Outstanding.
After I defuse this bomb, you have my permission to die.
That's Sean Connery in Goldfinger.
Yep.
How could you not figure that out?
That's...
My Bane is so Sean Connery.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
You guys could do an entire podcast of bad impressions.
Just of horrible.
We have.
Yes, Mrs.
For charity.
Yeah, for charity. Here's one movie I wanted to talk about. Was one of my favorite little indie films of the summer, was Safety Not Guaranteed, which is an excellent movie. It's an excellent, excellent film. If you have not seen it, check it out. Jay Tuplis is in it, and it's heartwarming. It's very inventive, and it's such a cool little movie. And it got a limited release, and it kind of snuck under the, like, it didn't get the press that it should have, and it was an excellent movie. For me, my biggest disappointment was Prometheus. The biggest letdown for me. I was so expecting so much more from that movie, and was bored to tears with like bumbling scientists who were like, "Hey, should we touch this stuff?"
Yeah. What's the first rule of going to an alien planet? Touch everything.
Take your helmet off. You'll be fine. Clearly alien life here. There's nothing that could affect you.
Let's play a game. See if we can breathe in the alien planet.
Hey, let's have a slime fight. No, you're it. No, I'm it. We're scientists.
I'll tell you, Matt Weinhold, one of our others, hated that movie so much. He goes into it in a lot of depth. But I will say, I think that movie still did some stuff right. I think that it had like a really cool visual feel to it. I didn't hate it as much as everyone else, but I definitely wanted it to be better. Like, I kind of fell in the middle of it. But you kind of hated it, though.
I hated it. There was no kind of. I was expecting so much and was so disappointed.
There was a lot riding on that movie.
Yes, there was high expectations, which I'm sure had a lot to do with my disappointment. But I'm so tired of at least it looked cool. Like, all this effort gets put into the look of something, and then this script with like this dialogue
that's where it failed. The thing that failed that killed that movie is that it wasn't even the script as much. It was those little moments. Like, if you took that overall story arc and then fixed all the little pieces in between. It would have been a much better movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So it feels like, okay, well, we've gotten the basic story down, and now let's wait. Now we fucked up all the details. That's kind of what it felt like.
And honestly, just if you haven't seen it, go watch Galaxy Quest instead. That's my recommendation to you. You'll have a far better time. It makes more sense when they're on that planet in space. Everything is perfect in Galaxy Quest. So, all right. Well, I think that's pretty much our show. Sam, where can people find anything to plug? The internet?
Who I am is not important.
Wait a minute. I have a request. Sam?
Yeah.
Do Bane doing a Bartles and James commercial.
A what commercial?
A Bartles and James wine cooler commercial.
Oh, the wine cooler? Okay.
I'm sorry, are those still in effect? Do they still have those wine coolers? Do a commercial from 1987. Could you do that? Could you do a Where's the Beef and a Rubik's Cube riff?
Where I eat is not important. What is important is what I drink. Bartles and James. They make thin straws that go through my weird face thing. By Bane.
By Bane. Oh, it's a new
Bane.
And I picture Bane like on a nice leather chair with like a fireplace.
He's got in a snifter.
Yeah, he's
no
got
question.
In a snifter, yeah. But it's got a straw to get to that weird
really skinny straw.
Like a cocktail straw. Oh, that's great. But I think Bane is going to do a whole series of commercials just like, I think driving a Buick is the best. It's affordable and luxurious. And good gas mileage. After you drive in my Buick, you have my permission to die. Because he's still going to murder people.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
That's what you get when you hire him. Nick, your favorite impression?
You're the man now, dog. Thank you.
That's an amazing Sean Connery.
That was Michael Caine.
Oh.
It sounds so similar.
Well, it's the same part of the island of the British
You bet.
Isles.
That is... Shame on you.
I don't do impressions, but I do a radio program, and I'm really proud of it. It's the Preston and Steve Show. We're on Monday to Friday. Sam was on yesterday. These guys were on
today.
Great show. And we love having all the comedians that come through Helium. We often have them come in, so it's great. And Monday
streams. It's on podcast,
too. So WMMR.com, PrestonandSteve.com, Monday to Friday, 6 a.m. to about 10:30 or so. Check us out.
Yeah, check it out. Everyone listening at home, you can go back and listen to any of these episodes, and they get great guests on because you guys have been a bit...
It's a fun show.
It's a fun show. I've been on it several times, and go back and check that out. So, Sam?
Yep.
Now where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter.
But if you have more voices, by all means, do not hold back.
All right. You can find me on Twitter, at Sam Levine, SammLevine, and... I don't know. That's it for now, I guess, till this thing comes out.
When is it coming out?
February-ish of 2013. Sunday nights, 10 p.m., supposedly. Uh-huh. It's a really good show. You're going to like it. I promise.
So, real quick, probably Bane doing a NBC The More You Know public service announcement.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been lost in life before, it's important. Find an adult. Tell someone. And also watch Do No Harm on NBC.
There you go.
The More You Know. That was my Antonio Banderas.
That was good. That was very good.
Folks, big round of applause for Sam Levine and Nick McElwain.
Thank you.
Any other announcements? Oh, yeah. L.A. Podcast Festival, October 12th through 14th. There's discounted hotel rooms. Limited number of hotels are still available. Go to lapodfest.com. We have added... Yeah, Aisha Tyler's doing the show. Doug is going to be doing Doug Loves Movies.
We added a Yeah Dude.
Mark Maron is going to be doing the stand-up show, so he's still going to be there. Go to LAPodFest.com and all the schedule and all that stuff like that. If you guys here in Philly or anyone listening can come out to L.A., check it out. There's day passes. There's single show passes for the comedy show and Doug Loves Movies on Saturday night. There's weekend passes, and it's this awesome hotel. It's 4 blocks from the beach in Santa Monica, so please check that out.
And we have the Comedy Film Nerd's Guide to Movies. We have it available signed on our site, but also you can get it on Amazon and Kindle and iBooks. And because we were on Preston and Steve's, it was the number one downloaded Kindle movie guide.
Cannot thank you guys enough for making that happen. That's such a cool thing, man. Chris and I love doing this. We've been working really hard, and when that kind of stuff happens, we just, you guys are really, really awesome fans. So thank you to everybody here at Helium Comedy Club. I think that is our show.
That's the prestige.
Thank you to Bane and Christopher Walken and all the gang. The cavalcade of characters that comes out to the show. Thank you so much. My name, or actually, when we do the end, all of you listen, you know what your cue is going to be. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and as always,
remember, Han shot first.
Where do I put this car battery?
Han shot first. Kiss your hands up.